Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's a really interesting and I think growing dynamic about our public conversation about a really sensitive and delicate issue, pornography. For many decades, and increasingly so over much of that time, anyone who used to speak out against it were written off as wowsers, anti-sex. Well, they didn't know whether we lived in a world of liberation and free thought and free love. But over the last few years, there's been a growing voice of concern across a broad spectrum of political and social thought from many women's groups, especially who you'd never describe as wowsers, looking on in growing alarm at what pornography has become, especially on the internet. Also value your thoughts on this, your insights and maybe your experiences as you have perhaps watched as many and increasing numbers of people have watched in growing alarm at what is happening to pornography, especially on the internet. I remember soon after starting Open House back in May, our new media social media guru Steve Krieger said, we've really got to talk about this one night because he regards it as the number one issue amongst his Gen Y counterparts. I've been noticing a real change, a big shift in this public conversation. So I was especially struck by the thoughts of one of Australia's leading and most thoughtful commentators, Clive Hamilton, who's just written an article entitled Rescuing Sex from Porn. Clive's the Professor of Ethics at the Centre for Applied Philosophy and Public Ethics at the Australian National University in Canberra. Clive Hamilton joins us on Open House. Clive, welcome.
Thanks, Lee.
Great to have you with us, Clive. So you too have noticed this, what I think is a clear shift in public thinking and public expression?
Yeah, very much so, over the last maybe 10 years. And I think it's driven mainly by the explosion of pornography on the internet.
Yes.
And the fact that teenagers are now routinely exposed to porn. And not just, see, part of the problem, Lee, is for most people, particularly those who might be, say, over 35, when they think of porn, they think of pictures of naked men and women. But in fact, porn has really gone to the darkest recesses of sexual behaviour on the internet. And any kid can come home from school and go and look at that. And so I think there's a very widespread concern amongst parents about what their kids are looking at and what effect it may have on them. But they often don't know what to do about it.
Yes. Another one of my guests earlier this year, Amelia Clark, who's a sex therapist, said that the average age a child is first exposed to pornography on the internet is 8, which I was completely gobsmacked by.
It's shocking, isn't it? And it's not only at home on the computer, but now increasingly on mobile phones, the ones that can access the internet. So kids at school are literally walking around with porn in their pockets.
Yeah.
And you know what teenage kids are like, or even ones who aren't at teenage years. They like to explore, experiment, show off, and it's simply not enough to say, well, they won't look at things that disturb them. Actually, kids do look at things that disturb them and might find it quite compelling and get drawn in, and that's one of the things that some experts who study porn have been saying, that because of the demand from adults who become bored with normal sex, if I can use that word, or mainstream sex, let's say, the pornographers on the internet and on videos increasingly engage in what's in the US known as gonzo porn, which is just more and more extreme acts, things that are really perversions.
Yes.
Now, that's a very unfashionable word nowadays.
Clive, who are the people, what are the groups who are now expressing this concern, who, as I said, might never have taken this kind of stand in the past? They're certainly not wowsers.
Certainly not. I mean, I know from work we did when I was at the Australia Institute about 5 years ago, we did a survey and we found that parents are overwhelmingly concerned about it. And, of course, when you've got something like 80 or 90%, I think it was closer to 90% of parents saying we're worried and we want the government to regulate the internet in some way to try and keep some of this stuff away from our kids. Of course, it's impossible to say, oh, they're all conservative people who don't, you know, who are just moral wowsers. I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. It's all parents. Yeah. So I think the groundswell of concern is coming from parents, and it's been taken up by a range of professionals. A lot of psychologists now are speaking out because, you know, they see the damage. They see the relationships come under great stress because of the way in which extreme porn has insinuated itself into the relationship in various ways. So a whole range of them are expressing a lot of concerns as well.
Concerns about two groups, as I've been reading it. One, the consumers of porn, as you say, have been in a way drawn into or almost forced to go for more and more extreme degrees of porn, but also concerns about those in the porn industry, and especially for the females, the women who are so degraded and more degraded by this business, and what that says about women.
Well, the women who've come out of this industry are really the most eloquent critics, because they completely shatter this idea, which is both communicated in porn itself, but also by the defenders of porn, both the industry, but also there are some academics who, in a very sort of old-fashioned way, call themselves pro-sex and sort of anything goes. But these women come along and they just describe just how degrading it is and how much pressure it is and how they're more or less coerced into more extreme things that they really don't want to do, or which if they do, in a sense, voluntarily, they know it's some deep part of themselves is truly degrading and dehumanising.
Yeah.
And there's a new book out, which I know you've come across, Lee, called Big Porn, Inc. It's a fantastic book, which really exposes the workings of it all. But included amongst the many chapters in that book are a couple of testimonies from women who have been involved in the industry, and they're really quite devastating portraits. And one of them, Stella, she appeared at the launch of this book a week or two ago in Melbourne at Reading's Bookshop, and she was extremely nervous because she, you know, obviously this is really tough stuff. And so she wrote this chapter, and she came along, she spoke in public about what it was like, just briefly, but I tell you what, it had us all in tears. I mean, her bravery, her courage, the way she'd come out of it. I mean, a damaged person, which she could see, but one willing to face up to it and try to overcome the sort of degradation that she was she engaged in when she was younger.
On Open House, we're with Clive Hamilton, Professor of Ethics at the Centre for Applied Philosophy and Public Ethics at the ANU in Canberra. Clive, this whole issue particularly struck you on a recent visit to the Dimmocks bookstore. Tell us about that.
Well, this was remarkable. I just wandered into Dimmocks bookstore here in Canberra earlier this year to go and look for books. And as I walked in, smack in the main display of the Dimmocks bookshop was a big shelf with the collected first 10 years of Playboy, and right next to the sections called Great Holiday Fiction and School Holiday Reads, there you had Playboy prominently displayed. And, you know, I mentioned to the... I was shocked, actually. Not, you know, I mean, let's face it, I mean, the first 10 years of Playboy are quite tame by today's standards, but the point, the really crucial point is the boundary between porn and mainstream culture has been dissolved. And so a perfectly respectable bookstore like Dimmocks, which actually advertises itself as a family company, could sell softcore porn quite openly. And when I mentioned to a young woman at the counter, I said, oh, I didn't expect to see Dimmocks selling porn. She said, well, she was a bit embarrassed. Of course, she said, well, it's not really porn, is it? Not these days. And it made me wonder, Well, would they sell the last 10 years of, the most recent 10 years of Playboy, which, of course, has got much more extreme, not to mention the Playboy Empire's internet porn, which is even more extreme. And so I'm guessing they wouldn't. I hope they wouldn't. So the question I asked myself was, when did not really porn become porn?
It's a very good question and an interesting kind of observation that she made.
It was, and I just thought it shows you. I bet you Dimmick's management, I bet you they didn't have a big debate about it. They said, oh, Playboy, first 10 years, oh, we'll probably sell a few of these. Let's put it on prominent display.
Yeah.
And you need people to say, well, no, actually, that's not okay. It might be soft porn that's not so outrageous today, particularly compared with what you can get in magazines, videos, and the internet, but it's porn. And so, you know, if you actually bill yourself as a family-owned business that, is concerned about community well-being, why do you just, without thinking, without discussion, stock porn and ask your 18, 20-year-old young female assistants to sell it to the customer? I just find that astonishing, but it shows you how far we've come.
Yep.
That they didn't even think about that.
Clive, can I put it to you that we've reached the stage where this probably can't be controlled? Or how can it possibly be rolled back, if at all?
Well, I think that's a really good question, Lee. I mean, look, I think perhaps we don't realise, even those of us who watch this quite closely, just how deeply the easy availability of porn, and particularly extreme porn and all the fetishes and perversions and so on that are easily available, just how deeply it has sunk into our culture. I mean, we see the crossover all the time. I mean, again, when we did work on sexualisation of children at the Australia Institute, we had a lot of parents and grandparents writing to us saying, look, I was in a shop with my 6-year-old granddaughter and some music came on. She started gyrating around and doing all this, you know, basically strippers moves.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that about? And yet some older people are sort of disturbed by it, didn't quite know why. And yet for kids, as Melinda Tankard-Reist, one of the editors of this book, Big Porn Inc., has said, it's become the wallpaper of cultural life. Pornographic references, pornographic images, talk about porn, all sorts of things. I've noticed on TV, comedians are starting to make jokes about bestiality. So not only is it part of the public discussion, it's something you make jokes about.
How funny.
Well, yeah, what happened to us?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very deep and it's going to take a lot to roll it back. But at the moment, what we don't have is, well, the start of, is a strong public move to say, no, it's not okay.
That's right. Enough is enough. Clive, finally, what would your message be to those who perhaps face that growing temptation, especially with the availability of the internet, to access pornography that, as you say, these days is clearly going from extreme to extreme? What would you say to them tonight?
Well, the reason that porn is now, I think, the dominant usage, certainly the biggest money-earning usage of the internet is, I mean, it's very, very tempting. I mean, it's just there, you know. Anyone can do it and there are no penalties and you can go and look at all sorts of things. And I think we have to ask ourselves, we blokes, can we control it or is it going to control us? Is it going to insinuate its way into our minds and start to influence the way we see women in very negative ways? Is it going to influence our sexual relationships in ways that we can't control or which our partners, current or future, aren't going to like? Really, this is it's powerful stuff, you know. Well, sex is fantastic, but it's got a dark side as well, and we have forgotten that for 40 years, that sex can be dangerous as well as wonderful, and so we need to exercise caution.
Clive Hamilton, very much appreciate you joining us on Open House tonight. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.